Oh, that's a good art.
The Blue Dome by Selena Urshadi is ArtSpace Aotearoa's current exhibition, which continues in the gallery's exploration of their annual question, Which History? Selena Urshadi is an Iranian-born, Tamaki-based artist who primarily works amongst a practice of experimental filmmaking and writing, drawing from personal histories and lineages of storytelling through acts of documentation and the navigation of familial archives. Within the Blue Dome, Urshadi presents various foraged visual materials and audio that draw from her two recent trips back to Tehran, constructing these complex audiobiographical works that speak to moments of lived reality and attempts of self-orientation. Although autobiographical in nature, these works complicate this idea of the linear narrative of autobiographical filmmaking and storytelling, shifting the linear concept and framework of the documentary through Urshadi's experimental approach to the capturing of imagery and dialogues, as well as the construction of the film itself, allowing for these slips of failure to seep into the captured frame, resulting in a documentation that questions its own stability of account. But through this instability, moments of reception appear. These intimate works that draw from Urshadi's familial histories become open to a kind of reception, an intertwining of spaces, dialogues, and histories. I caught up with ArtSpace Aotearoa's Kaitohu director, Ruth Buchanan, about the exhibition.
Kia ora, ko Taranaki Tamuna, ko Ringatoi nei, ko Kaitohu o ArtSpace Aotearoa nei, ko Ruth Buchanan aho. My name is Ruth and I'm Kaitohu Director of ArtSpace Aotearoa on Karangahape Road.
ArtSpace Aotearoa's current exhibition, The Blue Dome, features a new body of work by Tamaki-based artist and filmmaker Selena Urshadi. I'd like to start off this conversation by speaking a little bit to the artist herself. Would you be able to introduce the artist and a bit of her overall practice for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited to be presenting the first institutional solo of Selena. She's shown pretty widely across Aotearoa and also most recently at the BFI Film Festival in London, which is a really significant festival in that context for artist filmmakers. So I guess her presence in the city in the form of a solo show is really, really timely. She has a background in both English literature and masters in fine art. So I guess what's constant in her work is this relationship between looking and listening, or language and the image. And I think that she's really sort of developed that to exciting new level for this current show. And what's really exciting about it is that it will be touring as well. So two international venues, Nottingham Contemporary in the UK next year, as well as works, elements of the show will be included at the 17th Asia Pacific Triennale in Brisbane next year as well. So I think that's just a reflection of the timeliness of her way of working, as I say, navigating a sort of tension or not between this looking and this listening impulse.
And within the Blue Dome, Urshadi presents various foraged audio and visual material from her recent trips back to Tehran, constructing these works that speak to this lineage of storytelling and an attempt of self-orientation. Would you be able to, for our listeners, walk us through the works presented in this exhibition, as well as a little bit on the context surrounding them?
Yeah, no, I will speak from the perspective of ArtSpace Aotearoa rather than Selena, so take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. But I suppose this show sits as the second part of our 2026 program, which orients itself around the question, which history, ko tihia hitori. And I think the other way to think about that question, which history, is where does my attention go and why does my attention go there? And I think that question of attention and constructing attention is really potent within the exhibition, which consists of four key works. The Blue Dome, which is a 28-minute montage film shot on both 16mm and Selena's iPhone. As you said, shot in Tehran over two separate visits she's made in the last 18 months, where she's in conversation with her grandmother, her grandmother, great aunt, and aunt. The other film, An Eye Open, is a really incredible portrait of her mother, really, and it's this close image of her mother's eye as it's been cared for by the medical system here in Aotearoa. And it's a medical imaging. There's found footage that's included in the show as well. And then there's a really fantastic sound piece that she's made together with Francis Lebeau called Passage, which is sort of the orientation or the start point for the show. So she's talked about it as a sonic curtain. So I guess going back to that question of attention, there's these really clear moments in the show where she asks us to question how we listen and question how we look. So this sonic curtain is made up of cassette recordings from family members talking in 1980 and then family members listening to that material today and trying to sort of decipher which aunt is that, what were they saying, where was this recorded, as well as field recordings from Tehran. But it does this really beautiful thing of bringing that world of her family, her whānau, Tehran, into our whare on Karangahape Road. But at the same time, it welcomes the sounds of the street outside the gallery in as well. So I think the exhibition is really sophisticated in terms of its capacity to bring the world into the work and also show us that the work in the exhibition is from and part of the world.
Yeah, that was my next question. Something that I found really personally intriguing about the exhibition is that awareness of the space through that really thoughtful installation of the work itself, specifically in relation to the work Passage, which you were just speaking about, which is the work of first encounter and also the last upon exit. Yeah, it takes on this kind of act as a prelude of sorts to the wider exhibition, while also leaning into this liminal space between Karangahape Road and the work itself, resulting in this really wonderful fugue of intertwining sound and audio. I wanted to ask a little bit behind the thought process of the installation of the exhibition. Was there something that Selena herself or you also in conversation kind of spoke about that, the installation and mingling of those worlds?
Yeah, I mean, we from the very beginning spoke very much about this exhibition opportunity as a chance to think film, think sound into the space and towards a visiting body. Of course, it's quite common if you're working in film, the impulse might be to try and say, within this contemporary art gallery, let's try and make it as if it's a cinema. But rather than doing that impossible act of creating cinema-style scenario within a contemporary art gallery, which has a very different type of architecture and infrastructure, rather than that leaning into what our space could offer Selena's work, and I guess thinking about the exhibition itself as a film. So how can a show be like a film, and how can we support or sort of invite audience to have some element of self-efficacy in there, that as they move through the space, they are editing, so as you enter the space and you carry the sounds you've left behind from Karangahape Road with you, and you pass through that sonic threshold, that's sort of an act of live editing. We've worked with a mesh curtain, very deep, rich colours, quite particular shaped furnitures. So there's many opportunities to be an effective editor as an audience member. So both of us talked a lot. We talked a lot about that from the beginning of our working process, And I guess we were interested in the ways that things that happen inside the film might also happen in the exhibition space. So, for example, in the Blue Dome, there are a lot of shots with views, into other views. So what am I saying? Perhaps a camera angle that we see a doorway, and then through the doorway we see a window, and then through the window we can see part of Tehran city outside. So there's this sort of stacking of spatial experience, and we've tried to take some of those filmic decisions into the space in terms of, like I say, using that curtaining. So there's a layer of access, working with archways and negative space to create that sort of sense of perspective, and keeping some of our windows to the street open as well. So as you look at the film with these layered views of Tehran city, when you turn around, you have that same experience in the gallery out onto Karangahape Road as well. So I feel really excited by where we got with the exhibition, and definitely excited by it as a proposal for how film can take on board the liveness of an exhibition. Contingency of visiting a show, and it's a very different thing than being in a cinema, right? Your sort of contract is quite different as a visitor.
Yeah, it's so beautiful to see a film presented in this capacity where it's so open to its surroundings and really taking on this interconnected nature within the gallery space itself.
You talked about the word susceptible, you know, that the work could be susceptible to the world in the same way as the world is susceptible to the work, and I really think that's a strength.
Yeah, like a weaving together of these different kind of points. And also on the note of Selena's film, The Blue Dome, although this film displays an insight into Oshadi's personal moments of dialogue and domestic familial imagery, there is also this undertone of a lack of linear storytelling, a lack of orientation as one enters the viewing of the film, not quite knowing their point of entry in relation to the film itself. It seems as though Oshadi is really playing with this notion of the linear and the unreliable author through the film's fragmented construction and the alternative endings. Are you able to speak a little bit to the film's fragmented construction and the kind of lack of orientation it passes over to the viewer?
Yeah, I mean, I think like all editing, whether we're editing a film or a music album or a piece of writing, it's just as much about what we leave out as what we include. And I think that tension is something that Selena is really excited by, but also confident and pushing to an edge as well. So I think I probably wouldn't use the term unreliable narrator, but yeah, there's an interest in eschewing sort of standards around what it looks like to tell a story, how our apparatus for telling those stories are ordinarily asked to perform. So thinking about the way the microphone shows up, or that, you know, that appears in several scenes. We see the microphone on the table between these two older women having a conversation, or the shakiness of the camera. And I don't think it's not done in any kind of mannered way at all. I mean, for me, it's fundamentally perhaps like what a real documentary would look like, right? Is when we understand that there are many, 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 many versions of every story. And I think what I find interesting and exciting about what you're raising in this question in terms of like, oh, it's how to, where do I orient? What's the timeline? How am I traveling along from like the perspective of Hannah Arendt, you know, philosopher? She talks about conversation and dialogue as being absolutely key tools to avoid authoritarianism. So if we take that attitude to looking at a film, that on the one hand we literally listen into and see conversations, but we're also invited into something that's more like a figure eight than a straight line, there is really that sense of the work having a conversational structure that I think becomes very inclusive and definitely anti-authoritarian, which I think is a really powerful statement to make at this moment, particularly when it's done in this rather understated way. Yeah.
And I also wanted to touch on the great array of reading material that Oshadi has included within the exhibition. I think this is such a lovely way to recognize the creative references and lineages of a work and practice as a whole. The material Oshadi has chosen includes a variety of poetry and memoirs, writing with all kind of a open and liminal approach to language itself that perhaps mimics the ways in which Oshadi approaches her own filmmaking. Are you able to speak a little bit to the interconnected nature between Oshadi's film practice and these writing references and also her practice in relation to language?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as I mentioned, she has that sort of dual background training through English literature and going to art school. So from the very emergence of her artistic practice, language, the reading of text, the production of text, the listening to it has been central to what she does. And I think in the exhibition we encounter that in a number of ways. You know, there are subtitles, which I think it's important for us to all always have in mind. These are never, you know, one-to-one exacting versions of what we're hearing. That's a way of working through stability of language and capacity to understand. In the VHS material, there's a timestamp on that, so that's also text, right? Mm. And I think for both Selena and I, we both adore reading, and a lot of our, you know, most beautiful conversations in these last 18 months as we've worked together or worked towards this show has been around sharing what we're reading. Selena has an incredible memory for authors' quotes, where they said this, when they said that. It's kind of encyclopedic and it's an amazing thing to be around. So I guess mutually we agreed that it would be really wonderful to bring that specificity into the exhibition. It's also, the books are located in our reading room where we always do have texts available that resonate with the show in some way, but usually it's selected by me or Matthew or whoever has curated the show. But in this instance, because there's such a strong affinity with language and a real understanding the material power of text and publications, it felt really generous of Selena to bring in her personal library. And I think it sort of underscores that sense, you know, you mentioned it earlier, the access we have to personal intimate moments, but there is a reticence, there is a holding back, there is a editing. So I think there's a really interesting tension about what we show, what we don't show, and where it's set up in the gallery. It's pretty, it's dark, it's low light, so it does create this really beautiful one-to-one encounter opportunity that's quite different to the scale of the film, right? Which is like, you know, 3 meters by 4 meters. It's large, the sound is loud. So we also were thinking very much about, yeah, how do I get close to this range of materials in a different in a range of ways.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful and also generous addition to the show, which I personally really appreciate, and I think it's really lovely to also there being Ashadi's personal books. It's got that secondary layer of like that intimate connection, and kind of you can make those links between the films as you walk around, and kind of makes you hover in that space a little longer and sit with the work through these different, rather than being specifically engaged in the film itself, it's like you can be in the corner reading the book while still overhearing the works in the background, which I think is really special.
Yeah, I mean, she, in the whole making of the show, and I'm not going to be able to remember the author she was quoting from, but she talked about the sidelong glance, so accessing a thing, you know, not from the centre, not from the front, but from a sort of a skewed or side angle. And I think what you've just described is the viewing experience where you might be reading something, but you hear the grandma's voice in the background, that throughout the show there's this sort of glimpsing and glazing across of access.
Yeah, this kind of idea of orbiting a point from these different locations in a way. And lastly, what are your hopes for viewers engaging with this exhibition?
Well, you know, we always, ultimately what we're offering at ArtSpace Aotearoa is catalyst. You know, every exhibition that we do, every artwork that we show, every event that we hold, what we hope is that someone who comes along might have a new thought, a feeling. Perhaps they will think about it in 2 years' time. Perhaps it's immediate. But I think just on a very surface level, in the specific case of Selena's show and its proximity to the current global tumult in terms of the war in Iran, it offers an antidote to a very, very flat media landscape that's predicated primarily on monologue and extreme saturation and binary viewpoints. I think just at this very, you know, this moment, completely unplanned, of course, on our case, we've been working on this show for a much longer period of time. It offers texture, it confidently sort of presents ambiguity, it is okay with nuance, and I feel those are all things that are really valuable to build our muscles around this year, and you know, for us in Aotearoa heading towards elections later this year, wouldn't it be amazing if there was more chance to think in texture, to think in ambiguity together, so that we can have friction without fragmentation? So I think there's a real potency to viewing Selena's work right now.
That was ArtSpace Aotearoa Kaitohu director Ruth Buchanan speaking to me about Selena Oshadi's The Blue Dome, which is on until the 4th of July. Also in association with the exhibition, there will be a screening of Fugue Notes by Selena Oshadi, along with an introduction and reading of the script by the artist. This is a free event taking place at ArtSpace Aotearoa on Thursday, the 25th of June between 6 and 8 p.m. You can RSVP through the ArtSpace website.